Oh, look at Arch Manning. Oh, hit him with the two-step. Arch Manning, touchdown.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Family Benfey, PJ Glasser, that audio courtesy ESPN. With the Texas game last year, Mark Jones on the call. Good to hear all these voices back in our, once again, like Mark Jones, the Gus Johnsons. We're going to get Chris Fowler coming up a little bit later on this weekend. Like college football's all the way back. And it just brings a smile to my face. Because like the one thing about college football that I love, and like I love the NFL way more than college football just because like I grew up as an NFL junkie. But like I just love that. Like, and it's so simple and it's so stupid. But I'm going to say it out loud anyways. I love that college football's on Saturday. Like the vibe when you're watching college football is very fun. There's no Sunday scaries once you get to halftime of Sunday Night Football or any of that stuff. Like the vibe is just really, really strong in college football, and I love it. So we're all excited for what's going to happen this weekend. A lot of big games with week one coming up, and the biggest one, PJ, is at the Horseshoe in Columbus between Texas and Ohio State. But I'm curious, did you catch what Arch Manning said yesterday when he was asked about the Longhorns, the number one ranked team in the country, having a target on their back? Here's what Arch said. He said, quote, "All of us at Texas, we kind of try to shift the narrative. We're going for everyone else. The target's not on our back. We have a red dot on everyone else." So Arch is saying, we're coming out slinging, man. We're going for y'all. Like, there's no target on our back. We're coming for y'all. We're the number one team, but we don't care. We feel like we got the chip on our shoulders. I love that from Arch Manning. How will that translate on Saturday? I don't know. I think Texas wins the game, and these comments will probably just be forgotten once we get to game time. But I love that mentality from Arch as a guy that knows, hey, there's this pressure, but screw pressure, man. Let's flip this thing around. Like, there's pressure on y'all. Like we're applying the pressure. There's no pressure on us. I think that's the right mindset. And whether Arch is good, if he's average, if he's great, I think Texas is in a great spot this upcoming season with Arch Manning as their quarterback, because it doesn't feel like anything's going to be too big for this guy. Like, he's a Manning. There's been a target on his back since he was born, and since he's been playing football. I think Arch has the right mindset. And if he's a little bit like Eli, who we just saw have his career in New York, seem to be unflappable, that's exactly what you want from a quarterback of the University of Texas, one of the more high-profile positions in the entire sport.
I mean, like you said, you love the fact that Arch isn't backing down. He's the number one. They're the number one team in the country. They're the favorites to win the national title. He's the favorite to win the Heisman. This is the most hyped I can ever remember a freshman being going into a season in college football. So good for him, you know, for, as you like to say, Femi, standing on business, right? He's not backing down from anybody. Ten toes down, and I do love the fact that we're going to see him get thrown into the fire in week one. On the road, hostile environment against a terrific team and a great defense in Ohio State. We talked about this one yesterday, Femi. It's back to 2.5 now. Ohio State yesterday when we talked about this, well, yesterday morning it was 1.5. Then when our show rolled around, it was -2.5 plus 100 at BetMGM. Now we're getting -2.5 at plus money. What I think is interesting is while we've had all that movement with the spread, the money line has remained the same at -120 with Ohio State, right? You normally don't see that. I mean, especially when it goes from 1.5 to 2.5, the spread moves, money line stays the same. So right there, like, I don't see any value laying 2.5 with Ohio State. You might say, oh, you get it underneath the key number. You save yourself 10 cents, like all that kind of stuff. But I think the fact that it was -120 at -1.5 and it's remained the same, Femi, I think the value is on the money line. So if you like Ohio State right now, bet them money line and don't even forget about the points. Because again, with the low total at 47.5, both these teams being two of the best teams in the country, this game likely will come right down to the wire. So that was my first thought. Can we get a three? Can we get a three with Texas? We got them.
Oh, baby.
We got them earlier on in the summer. We actually got 3.5s earlier in the summer. Into three. And then as we start to get in August and people start turning their attention to college football and they do their deep dives on all these teams, people were all coming to the same conclusion. Like, why is Texas a 3-point dog in this game? It feels like Texas is better, right? Ohio State loses both of their coordinators. They have a true freshman starting at quarterback. They lose a ton of guys on defense. It's a revenge game for Texas, losing to Ohio State in the semifinals last year. Like, all these reasons to like Texas in the game. As we talked about it yesterday, though, Femi, Texas is just becoming a little too trendy for me. And when you get teams like Ohio State that are always the favorites, everybody's always looking for kind of the spots to bet against them, trying to figure out the games when they maybe could get upset. It's very rare for the Buckeyes to go into a game where it doesn't feel like anybody likes them. And usually under Ryan Day, when those kind of games have happened with Ohio State, they have usually performed pretty well. I mean, you just look at the two playoff games last year. Everybody loved Tennessee. Ohio State just loses to Michigan. That offensive line against Tennessee's defensive line. And people think Tennessee's going to pull off the upset. That game was over in the first drive. Wasn't even close. Then against Oregon, right? Undefeated Oregon. They already beat Ohio State. Number one team. Why are they underdogs in that game? Game was over in the second drive of the game, right? So when you get teams like that, and all offseason they've heard about how good Texas is, and they get Texas at their place, again, I'm worried about the coordinators. Like, that's the part of this. Like, Sark against Patricia is just like, do I really want to be on the other side of that? But I do think Ohio State at this point in time is the right side. And again, the fact that the money line is still at minus 120 and the spread has moved up a point, I'm looking at the Buckeyes here.
And I think, too, like, to further your point about betting the money line as opposed to laying 2.5 at even money over at BetMGM, think about it. Like, this is a closely contested game. What if we get overtime? And what if we go into a triple overtime? And all of a sudden, now we're down to the 2-point conversion stuff.
Already a winner.
If you lay 2.5, like you don't get to win that bet. If you lay 2.5 with Ohio State and Ohio State wins like 30-28, something like that, and then triple OT. Like, at least give yourself a little bit of protection, especially when if you're laying that 2.5, even money, that might sound great, but the minus 120 is much better, especially if it's a 2.5-point spread. So, I mean, that's a good thing to keep in mind with college football. That's much different than the NFL. Like, the college football with that 2-point conversion thing, which I talk about what I love about college football. I hate the 2-point conversion overtime stuff. I hate college football's overtime just to begin with. I just despise it. But, like, it just gets a little bit weird. So you can find yourself with a good number, but then all of a sudden you're on the outside looking in because now we're doing a 2-point off as opposed to playing actual football. But hey, they want to get the games done early. Sometimes it actually prolongs it. Just look at Georgia Tech and Georgia from last year. But Arch Manning is not the only quarterback in that game that we're excited to see. Julian Sayin of the Ohio State Buckeyes, a lot of pressure on him. We talk about Arch and the pressure with his name and Texas, et cetera, et cetera. Julian Sayin is replacing Will Howard, who won a national championship last year at the Ohio State University. Julian Sayin also has a teammate who's the best player in the country in Jeremiah Smith. Based on what you've been following in the recruiting ranks and what you've been hearing from the practice reports, what should we expect to see from Julian Sayin on Saturday? And is he the guy that can be the heir apparent to what we've seen with successful Ohio State quarterbacks in the past?
Yeah, I mean, well, Julian Sayin started his career at Bama. He was on their roster last year. He was supposed to be kind of the guy that followed up Jalen Milrow. And then, you know, Ty Simpson had a great camp, and it kind of just felt like DeBoer was going to give him the job, so Sayin transfers out. Ohio State's obviously looking for a new quarterback after Will Howard, so he winds up there. So he's been in, obviously, two great programs. He's learned under two great offensive minds in DeBoer and Ryan Day. But Femi, as you know, I mean, you can practice all you want. You can watch all the film that you want until you get thrown out there in front of 90,000 people, 1 versus 3. You just don't know how a guy's going to react. I think that's why the total is so low at 47.5, and why people are liking the first half under in this game is the play calling. It feels like it should be pretty easy for Brian Hartline, right? You have the best receiver in the country in Jeremiah Smith. Just find ways to get him the ball. If it's a 30-yard pass down the field, if it's a 5-yard slant, bubble screen, reverses, whatever it is, give him the ball. They do lose Judkins and Travion Henderson, but it's Ohio State. I mean, they'll be stacked at running back. I would expect a conservative game plan from Ohio State early. I don't know if we're really going to see Julian saying, like, if I'm really going to be able to form an opinion about him early in the game, the fact that he's going up against one of the best defenses in the country, and this is his first college start, I mean, look, he could do what DJU did against Notre Dame, right, years ago when he was at Clemson, and he's filling in for Trevor Lawrence the COVID year and just comes in and throws for 400 yards. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think it's going to be a conservative game plan for Ohio State. They're the home team. They're the favorite. The pressure is on Texas in this game. They're the team that's favored to win the title. They're the number one team. Everybody's talking about them. So I think Ohio State is kind of going to wait for them to make the first punch, see if they make the first move. I don't think they have any problem letting this thing drag out, let it be low scoring, and try and win this game at the end. So Julian saying, you know, I think the biggest thing for him is probably they just don't want him to turn the ball over. Obviously, just make all the right decisions. And if you see a one-on-one matchup with number four, you better throw him the football. If you're looking at props, because you, myself, Tyler, we were talking about it at the break, I do think under...
I want you to save your prop stuff for the next segment, because I do want to bring Tyler in. Let's do that in the next segment here, because I think there's a larger conversation to be had with that. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you in totality. Like Julian, and I also wonder this, though, PJ. Is there actually pressure in these games now that, like we live in an era where you can lose two, maybe even three games and make the CFP? Like, obviously, like, it's a big game, and, like, the general, like, just environment could rattle a young quarterback. But in terms of high stakes, does that exist anymore, especially this early in the season? It just might be, hey, we're two great teams going up against each other, and, yeah, we'd love to win it, but, like, the loser... I mean, we were just on with Michael Calabrese yesterday. He joined us from the Action Network. He's like, hey, like, I'm looking to bet the loser of this game to win the national title. Like, it almost feels like all that pressure is now off, now that you can go out there and lose this game and still take care of business the rest of the way. Now you lose a mulligan, but you still have all of your hopes and dreams still out in front of you.
You do. I think it depends a lot on a team's schedule. For a team like Texas, Femi, right? And I'm glad you brought this up, because I think a lot of people feel like, look, this is a big game. It's a great opportunity for both of these teams to kind of solidify themselves as the team to beat at the start of the season. But you look at Texas's schedule, right? And let's just say they lose this game. All right, one loss, go on the road to Ohio State, no biggie. They also play at Georgia this year, right? They're going to be underdogs in that game. Mm-hmm. Could definitely lose that game too. Then all of a sudden, okay, that's two losses. Well, they still have a road trip to Gainesville to play Florida, which isn't going to be easy. They still have to play Oklahoma at the Cotton Bowl in Red River, which won't be easy. They still get A&M at the end of the year. So, yes, because of the 12-team playoff, it's not like it used to be where if you lose this game, I mean, you essentially could be done. But because of the 12-team playoff, and now the conference is getting larger and the tougher schedules, there's not as much room for error as people think. I mean, I almost think as of it as, like, you win this game, you're in the playoff. That's the pressure. You know, is like, you miss such a golden opportunity that it's week one, you can already stamp your ticket. So the postseason, essentially, if you're Texas, whereas if That's you lose crazy. This game, now it's like, man, we still got Georgia down the road. We got Florida, A&M. Like, you got all these games in the SEC play. So this is one of those games, it can only help you. But at the end of the day, it is still one in the loss column, Femi. And with some of those teams they have down the road, Ohio State still obviously has to play Michigan and Penn State. They have a road trip to Washington and Illinois. Like, they have some games on their schedule. So big game for both teams. But I definitely think there is some pressure.
Yeah, that's a good point that you bring up, because, like, if you win it, like, you're probably just in.
Like, I mean, I really think so.
Which is a feather in the cap that not many teams can say after week one this upcoming college football season. Maybe there's, like, the Notre Dames of the world might be able to say that. If they beat Miami on the road, they're probably just in, especially when you look at their schedule and how that sets up for them. But, yeah, for Texas and Ohio State, prime opportunity. It's not like it was back in the day where it's like, oh man, if we lose this game, we got to run the table. But it is almost now where, hey, if we win this game, we can punch our ticket. See us in December and we'll go try to win a national title. So saying Arch Manning, both of those guys, we will find out what it looks like. We're also going to find out what it looks like in Ann Arbor with the Michigan Wolverines. Bryce Underwood, 18 years old, just turned 18 last week. Highly touted recruit. ESPN had him as their number one ranked prospect in this most recent class. Is this guy, like, going to turn this whole thing around at Michigan? Because I don't know how to feel about the Sharon Moore era so far in Ann Arbor, because last year was a little bit underwhelming. They had no quarterback play, but maybe Underwood can be the guy, PJ, this upcoming season.
One of my favorite win totals is Michigan under 8.5 at BetMGM, especially because of the plus money at +145 that you're getting. I look at their schedule at Oklahoma week 2. I think that's going to be a loss. They have to play Ohio State end of the year, obviously. They got road trips to Nebraska and USC, which
they'd
definitely
be
could
Ohio
be.
Ohio State, though.
Yeah, yeah, they haven't beaten Ohio State. I don't think they're going to get them this year, though. I think they finally lose that game. But the difference between Sherrone Moore and Jim Harbaugh is just night and day. The talent is still there. Underwood, I'm sure, is going to be a really good player. But I just think that we're still living in the Harbaugh days a little bit. I think this is a 7 or 8 win team this year.
I can't wait to watch Underwood, though. Like, the way people talk about this guy, like, he might be, like, in 3 years, we might be talking about him as, like, the next great NFL prospect. That'll be a fun story to track all throughout this college football season. You know what else is fun? Betting college football props. We'll break that down on the other side. It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. The sportsbook born in Vegas.